Now we're going to move, I believe, to item J. This is budget year.
Yes, come in more.
Budget fiscal year 2015-16. Budget request for certain entities. I invite Zlatko, Justice Huffman again, and John Jednik.
Let me begin.
And Kurt Soderlund.
Chief Justice, again, on behalf of the A&E Committee, thank you for allowing us to participate, and we're going to share this presentation. The role of the A&E Committee in the issue of budget change proposals, and these are budget change proposal concepts. Under the rule of court, all budget requests for the then AOC, now Judicial Council staff, are to be reviewed by A&E and for us to make recommendations to you. And that is our role. We are not here to look at all of the VCPs, but only those that have any potential financial impact on the staff or the staff's equipment for the Judicial Council. So our proposal is, I'll turn this over to Zlatko. He will go through the presentations, and then as to each of the VCPs that fall within our purview, then I will make a very brief report on what the committee did or didn't do.
Good morning, Chief, and members of the Council. We're here to discuss the budget change proposals that are in addition to the ones that were presented to the Council and approved back at the June meeting. The budget change proposals represent the fundamental change to each budget as they are proposed in the governor's budget. They're intended to address cost increases, workload growth, and new policies and programs. We have had all of those in this area throughout the process here in terms of trial courts and courts of appeal, Supreme Court, and the Judicial Council. Budget change proposals must be submitted by September 2nd. This is about 2 weeks earlier than prior years because there's an information technology implementation at the Department of Finance regarding their FISCAL, the Fiscal Information Systems for California, and therefore they've accelerated the timelines for us to submit budget change proposals. We, in our report, we did provide to you what is called the budget policy letter, and it outlines the budget development policy that the governor will be looking at for this budget season. And while there may be some issues that don't necessarily fit within the narrow guidelines as issued by the Department of Finance representing the governor's office, we still advocate for our issues as a branch nonetheless. And they are important to us, and we will continue to advocate for them. As Justice Huffman mentioned, we are bringing issues to the Council. They did go through A&E, but it is the Council who represents the budget to the Department of Finance and the legislature every year, and this is the process by which we comply with both the statute rules of court regarding that and the Department of Finance budget development process. We do look at financial issues. We look at expenditures. We look at workload. And as it says, technical needs in the branch. Some are represented as budget changes in terms of dollars. Others can be governance of the budget. We talked about the 2% process at our last council meeting. So those are issues that are all within the purview of the budget process. Again, we are establishing funding requests for you to support taking to the Department of Finance for the 15-16 budget process. Many of these are consistent, most of them, I believe all of them in some way, shape, or form, are consistent with the Council's blueprint that was adopted last year and forwarded for advocacy to the administration and the legislature, and we again are supporting that and developing that overall blueprint and how all these proposals fit in there. As Justice Huffman has mentioned, the A&E Committee has its responsibility to review and recommend or not any of the BCPs that impact the Judicial Council staff agency and the budget needs therein. We met as a committee on the 11th of August and went through a number of all of the issues, including some issues that were sort of beyond the entire scope but just of the A&E committee, but we gave them a sense of what are all the branch proposals. We did discuss, in terms of vote, the issues regarding facility program and the Judicial Council budget, of which there's some IT facilities and some other broader issues that we will discuss in a moment.
I might just add to that that we didn't resolve all of the issues on the 11th and therefore held a email meeting and following the open meeting rule in which we considered two BCPs that had not been voted, we could not vote on the 11th. And we'll have that report. But if that was an additional effort, then there's an additional record of it.
Yes. Thank you. In terms of the proposals that A&E looked at, we did look at the issue of reinvestment in the branch and the portions that would pertain to the Judicial Council, also the issue of COLAs. Again, since those were specific, those are aspects of the overall branch funding request that were related to the Judicial Council staff. Those had to be reviewed and commented on and recommended by the A&E committee. So those were discussed, and there was no issues with their support.
That's correct. The committee discussed both of those thoroughly and unanimously supports both of those proposed BCPs.
Now we'll have Kurt Sutherland discuss technology and facility issues.
Thank you, Slako. So there were several technology issues that were examined. One of the most critical ones deals with the refresh of equipment for the LAN-WAN. This is a program that affects all 58 courts. And in addition to the hardware refresh, includes maintenance and security of the network. And the appellate court's document management system to improve efficiency, reduce costs, and associated record storage, retrieval, and improve customer service has been presented. There were two additional, I'm sorry, I'll correct the slide. There were four additional proposals, not necessarily dealing with technology. Three dealt with technology, but these are typical of the organization where we're still developing proposals to go forward to the Department of Finance. So one dealt with the judicial branch information system security framework. And that is a direct response to the CSA audit from last year that drew some issues with regard to both how the branch deals with security, meaning both the JCC as well as the trial courts. There's also this critical issue that Judge Herman had identified in terms of us bringing forward a statewide approach to data exchanges, meaning we can't have 58 different ways of having interfaces with, as an example, the Department of Justice. So we're partnering or attempting to with the executive branch on that going forward. There is a proposal that may go forward also that deals with deployment of additional courts for the Phoenix payroll system. And as well, there's the expectation that we will bring back to the council a proposal concerning interpreters. Judicial Branch Facility Program proposals, there have been staffing requirements identified in two of these proposals that had been previously approved by the council on June 27th. So one of them deals with increased appropriation authority from the general fund. This mirrors a proposal that was submitted last year and rejected by the Department of Finance that would add roughly $12.5 million to the modifications program going forward. Recall that this is a grossly underfunded program, and so we're seeking additional staff to support that effort also. And that's on top of the additional $15 million that we got added to this year. So over a two-year cycle, the growth would be roughly $27 million. And then we're also seeking general fund money for transfer to the Court Facilities Trust Fund to meet what's called the BOMA standards. These are standards that are held statewide and nationwide, and this also would require the augmentation of four positions going forward.
Okay. Let me comment before you go. First of all, with regard, let's go back for a moment to the technology BCPs that are before you. Those were considered by A&E to the extent that they impact funding to the Judicial Council staff, either for equipment and or positions. And we certainly unanimously approve the telecommunications trial court, so forth, the judicial branch information system. As to the statewide partner data exchange, I'm obliged to report that there was one dissenting vote in the committee on that, and it relates to the question of the use of consultants. Dissent by Judge Dunning, who has and continues to express concerns about the use of consultants, particularly in the technology area. And so I'm simply reporting that the committee took the view that this is a conceptual BCP, that while there may be consultants involved, the issue of how they are deployed, how long they're kept, and so forth, was not before us, and was our committee, therefore, with one dissent, approved that. With regard to the facilities programs, as to two, the two that involve the increase of four positions each, ultimately, when the committee voted last week by email, it approved both. Historically, we approved both BCPs last year when they went. This year, the concerns expressed by the committee, two of the members, Judge Buckley and Judge Dunning, related to the manner in which the information was presented. That is, the question was asked by the committee of, okay, you have X amount of staff, why can't you do it? Why can't you do the work within this staffing? And unfortunately, the answer was not clear the first time, and it was not particularly clear second time. On the other hand, the majority of the committee were of the view that we had approved this before. It seemed fairly intuitive. If you're adding courtrooms, you're adding work, you're adding responsibilities, that these might be approved. The problem was further complicated by the representation of, well, one of the reasons the Department of Finance didn't provide the positions was that you already have the positions and you could fill the positions yourself. And so that sparked a question by the committee of, well, so what happened? And I really don't exactly know what the answer to that is. But our view is these are conceptual. They're calling for additional work. Yes, two judges dissented, and they expressed, I think, legitimate views. We believe that if this is approved, as we think it should be, by the council and goes forward, you should be mindful that there is a need to be more clear on, we need eight positions because we can't do it within the existing positions for the reason that X, which would be the question any of you would ask if somebody came to you in your court and said, we need more people. You'd say to David Yamasaki, why? Well, how come you can't do it with your staff? And he would tell you. And that's what needs to be done here. So we have approved them, but you need to know, in full disclosure, our discussion.
Two other proposals I'll briefly mention was that, again, these were submitted last year to the Department of Finance. And one deals with the increased operational cost for new and renovated courthouses coming online, and property and liability insurance premiums for the trial courts. The first one dealing with increased operational costs, that had a figure of $7.2 million, and the property and liability insurance premiums was at a cost of $1.7 million. But the last proposal I'll talk about before turning it back over to Zlatko is a request for funding for security and maintenance and replacement issues. And the rub on this particular issue is for a number of years, the modifications funding sources have been used for just this purpose. And what happens is when these funds are allocated for areas that weren't previously considered part of the program, it takes away from the base program, if you will. So it's a subtract from the base program at the cost of doing these security proposals. So this is really kind of a separate pot that we're trying to create with the Department of Finance. And it's got a value of $1.9 million.
Next are issues related to the Supreme Court and Courts of Appeal. They're not subject to the purview of the A&E Committee, but they were discussed briefly in terms of the overall branch funding needs. In addition to the rent item that is identified here before you, the Supreme Court and Courts of Appeal will obviously participate in the BCP for reinvestment for branch funds. They'll also be part of the cost of living adjustment issue that was brought before you in June. And so those issues also need to be supported before they're submitted to the Department of Finance. Other additional proposals include Supreme Court workload and costs for law library print and online resources. Those cost increases have been unfunded over the last several years, and they're causing a pressure on those Supreme Court and Courts of Appeal to manage those budget costs absent additional resources. Finally, this is an issue regarding the request for two additional appellate court justices in the 4th District. This was, again, part of last year's blueprint, and, again, we're seeking your support to submit that BCP to the Department of Finance and the Governor for consideration. Before we go on to the recommendations, are there any questions about the issues that we've raised thus far? Very good. So the recommendations are that that the Advisory Committee on Financial Accountability and Efficiency recommends that the Council approve the proposed budget change proposals for the Judicial Council and the Facility Program for submission to the Department of Finance. They recommend that we prepare and submit branch-wide BCPs for reinvestment and cost of living adjustments. We also ask that you delegate in a similar fashion as the prior years the authority to the administrative director to make necessary technical changes to the budget change proposals as necessary, given that they are still, many of them are still concepts and are working through staff process to get the final costs. And we also ask that the council approve, I can go back to the prior slide, that you approve the BCPs for the Supreme Court Courts of Appeal as well as the Habeas Corpus Resource Center as part of the branch submission for this budget process.
Thank you, Zlatko. Thank you, Justice Huffman, John, and Kurt.
I apologize. One more thing that was not reflected in the recommendations was that we would, consistent with last year, is when the BCP's narrative is finalized, that they would be provided to EMP to ensure that they're consistent with the council action as far as what staff prepared and preparing to submit to the Department of Finance.
Thank you, Zlatko. Justice Baxter?
Yes, I'd like to move the recommendations as on.
Thank you. Do I hear a second?
Second.
Second by Judge Rosenberg. Any discussion?
That includes that last
right. Yes, as
recommendation.
Justice Baxter indicated, refuted E&P for review.
Right.
I don't see any hands raised. So all in favor of moving these recommendations and the added part, please say aye.
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 Any opposed? The recommendations carried. Thank you.
Thank you.